All right, we're going to look again in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So we looked this morning at the just natural inclination that we have toward grumbling, complaining, the fact that it is a uphill battle if we're going to cultivate a thankful heart, a heart of gratitude toward the Lord. We looked at how thankful we ought to be when we consider the realities of salvation, and then where we left off was that a thankful heart is cultivated through intentional discipline, intentional training, as it were, to habitually set up times to give thanks to the Lord. Now, we're going to look in Psalm 140 as we continue to go here. Psalm 140. And one of the other things that we're going to see is that God intends for Thanksgiving to be an identifying mark of His work in His people. Okay? God intends for the giving of thanks to be an identifying mark of His work in His people. Look in Psalm 40, verse 13. David says, "Surely the righteous shall give thanks unto thy name. The upright shall dwell in thy presence." Surely the righteous shall give thanks unto thy name. Now think about that word surely. We see that surely in the Psalms several times. Probably the most familiar is Psalm 23:6. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And the word surely there is a statement of confidence, a statement of if I don't know anything else, I know this. I know that goodness and mercy is going to follow me all the days of my life. Well, David's using the same word here, and essentially he's saying, if I don't know anything else, I know this. I know that the righteous shall give thanks unto thy name. Why does he know that? Well, he knows that because, if we were to back up and look at the psalm in general, he knows that because he knows that the Lord is going to continually deliver the righteous throughout their life. That the Lord is going to care for, preserve, protect, keep, all the things that God does for His children. Look in Isaiah 51. Isaiah 51. Starting in verse 1, he says, "Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and unto the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. Look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bare you, for I called him alone, and blessed him, and increased him." Verse 3 is where I'm wanting to get. It says, "For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. He will make her wilderness like Eden, her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody." Here he's speaking of a work that the Lord is going to do. The Lord is going to bring comfort to Zion. The Lord is going to bring flourishing into Zion. Zion is going to go from being a desert wasteland into being the garden of the Lord, like Eden, it says here. It's going to be a place that is fruitful. It's going to be a place that is receiving God's blessings. And brothers and sisters, I mean, we're talking about where we are right now. Obviously, there's a greater fulfillment of this in the new heavens and the new earth, but you're in Zion right now. The Lord is watering His garden right now. The Lord is blessing His people right now. And it says here that joy and gladness is found therein, and thanksgiving is found therein. Again, God intends for thanksgiving to be a mark of His work in His people. The truth is, the Lord took, and this is not exactly where the text is going, but the application is still valid. The truth is, the Lord took every single one of us out of a waste, howling wilderness and put us into His garden and tends to us and feeds us and cares for us and has brought forth abundant fruit among us. And one of the natural marks from that is we give thanks. We thank You, Lord. We thank You for Your working. We thank You, Lord, that You're still moving among Your people. Now, one of the things that can kind of knock us off course is if we're holding out for some big splash, right? So if we are praying, and you know, there's nothing wrong with this. We obviously should be praying that Lord would bless us with revival. But if we're waiting for, you know, 100 people to respond before we're going to give praise to God, we got our eyes on the wrong target. Every time the Lord works in a single heart, we're experiencing the results of what He's talking about here in Isaiah 51. Every time one soul is brought from a desert land into the garden, every time the Lord shows any traces of tending to His garden, it's an appropriate response to give thanks for that, because it's a measure of grace and mercy and kindness from God. Look in Jeremiah 30. Jeremiah chapter 30. Verse 18. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 18. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring again the captivity of Jacob's tents, and have mercy on his dwelling places, and the city shall be builded upon her own heap, and the palace shall remain after the manner thereof, and out of them shall proceed thanksgiving, and the voice of them that make merry, and I will multiply them, and they shall not be few. I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small. He continues on to talk about the blessings that He's going to pour out on His people. But there's no mystery as to where I'm going with this. In verse 19, the Lord is going to bless Jacob's seed that has gone into captivity. He's going to bring them out. He's going to establish them. And out of them shall proceed thanksgiving. Just an acknowledgement. I mean, really, whenever we think about thanksgiving, you could define it in various nuances, but really, to give thanks is just to acknowledge what God's doing, right? It just means you're acknowledging what God's doing. God is working. The question is, will we take the time to acknowledge it? Ephesians 1:4 says that we've been given every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, in Christ Jesus. Right? The Lord is blessing, and He's blessing in big ways. And the question is, are we going to take the time to acknowledge it? Is it worth looking? Is it worth paying attention to see what God's doing? And then we look in Ephesians chapter 5 at a couple of passages that we looked at together not too long ago. Ephesians chapter 5. Starting in verse 4, this is talking about the fruits of darkness. In verse 4 it says, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient. So this is a list of the put-offs, right? Do not be involved in, do not make a habit of filthy speech, foolish talking, jesting, which are not convenient, but rather, what? The giving of thanks, right? Put these things off, he says, but then put these things on. We made this point time and time again when we were here, but just because you stop doing something does not mean that transformation has taken place, right? You have to stop You have to put off the sinfulness and you have to put on the righteous behavior. And he says, put this filthiness off, but don't just leave it there. Start giving thanks instead. Why? Because there's always an occasion to give thanks. There's always a reason to give thanks. We just have to look a little bit further down in chapter 5, starting in verse 18. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. We've talked about that, the Spirit-filled life. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, that part of the Spirit-filled life is giving thanks. When? Giving thanks always for what? Giving thanks always for all things. Right? This is, again, we don't get the idea here that this is some sort of a spontaneous thing to where you happen to stumble into thanksgiving. That's not what it is. It's the discipline of acknowledging, again, part of having your heart and your mind under the habitual influence of the Spirit is that you're acknowledging God's goodness, His mercy, His grace that is ongoing in your life. And then you respond and you speak and you give thanks. This is, again, intended to be an identifying mark of God's work in God's people. Now, we've talked about this in what we just read in Ephesians 5:20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's this reality that in Scripture we're commanded. And that's another thing. I don't know that I've brought it out yet, but we're commanded to give thanks. Right? God doesn't just suggest. God doesn't say it would be nice if you would. We're commanded to give thanks. And we're commanded to give thanks in all things. So we've seen that already from 1 Thessalonians 5:18, which was the text that we started with. Giving thanks in everything, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We've seen in Ephesians 5:20 that if we are being filled with the Spirit, then we're giving thanks always for all things. We looked earlier at Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, giving thanks, right? That's connected to in everything. And then look in Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, this is a parallel to being filled with the Spirit, letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly in verse 16. It says in verse 17, and whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. In all that you do, give thanks to God and the Father by Him. And so, again, it's this habitual pattern of thanksgiving that's happening in the life of the Christian. And it's thanksgiving that's occurring, as Ephesians 5:20 says, always and for all things. So how do we think about that biblically? How do we make sense out of that? Well, a couple of realities that we need to keep in mind. Number one, we think about what we learn in Romans 8 and in Genesis 50. With Joseph and his brothers, where Joseph sees his brothers and they're afraid, and they finally figure out they're afraid that Joseph is going to get back at them after their father dies. And Joseph has that phrase that we all know where he tells them, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Right? Joseph was mistreated. Right? Joseph was abused, left for dead, sold into slavery, thrown into prison, falsely accused. He was mistreated in all kinds of ways. And in those things, isolated, event by event, you would think, what in the world does Joseph have to give thanks for? What does he have to give thanks for? His life has gone from okay to pretty bad to really bad to really, really bad. And then all of a sudden it takes this humongous upswing and he becomes second in command in Egypt, right? So we can give thanks just based on the knowledge that God is working all things together for good to those who love Him, who were called according to His purpose. We don't even always know what that means and what that's leading to. Okay? We don't know what the end picture is, but what we do know is that even in the painful moments, even in the moments of being treated unfair, even in the moments of discouragement and those sorts of things, God is working and He's working for our good. And so if we can't do anything else, we can say, Lord, I don't understand what's going on. I don't like the circumstance that I'm in, but I thank You because I know You're working this for my good. Secondly, look in Job chapter 42. Job chapter 42. Both of these are going to be kind of a spin off of the Romans 8:28 reality. Job 42. Now, you're familiar with Job and his story. You're familiar that God brought Job to Satan's attention, and He allowed Satan to take away his family. He allowed Satan to take away his livestock, his material goods. He eventually allowed Satan to take away his bodily health. And then in Job's processing all this, he's surrounded by his miserable comforters. I mean, you know, you read the book of Job, and Job has experienced some dark days here. But then in Job 42, he says this, as God asked Job several questions, when it comes time for Job to respond, it says this in verse 1. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that Thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from Thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me which I knew not. Hear, I beseech Thee, and I will speak. I will demand of Thee, and declare Thou unto me. I have heard of Thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye seeth Thee. Wherefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Now, the verse I'm after is verse 5. And the reality that we're after is this, it's that trials can be and often are used to bless us to see God and experience God's goodness and grace and mercy and kindness in a way that they could not have been experienced otherwise. Job said, I heard about you before with the hearing of the ear, but now I've seen you. Now I know. Now I've experienced it. And so we can thank God that in the midst of difficulties, in the midst of trials, that God so often uses those to bless us to see Him, experience Him in a way that we would not have otherwise. And then in Psalm 119, Psalm 119, Psalm 119, verse 67, David says, Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept Thy word. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept Thy word. So often afflictions can be used in our lives to help us to value and rely more and more and obey God's word. So often it's our afflictions that get our attention. So often it's the results of bad choices on our part, or either painful experiences that come upon us that are no fault of our own, that reveal to us how much we need God, how much wisdom we lack, how much comfort we need from the Word. And it drives us there. And so we can give thanks for that. We can give thanks for that, even in the midst of affliction. So, in all circumstances, in all times, we are called to be a thankful people. And then lastly, I just want to mention that in Scripture we see there are various ways to give thanks. And the reason that this can be helpful is that if we're going to be strategic about it, if we're going to discipline ourselves to be thankful people, then these various ways that we can do that might be helpful. Number one, we can give thanks through prayer. We can give thanks through prayer. There should not be a time that we approach the throne of grace and we leave without giving thanks. Every time we approach God in prayer, thanksgiving ought to be a part of that. And that ought to be a habitual part of that. Okay, that ought to be part of your habit when you come to God in prayer. Look in Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 11. Okay, now this is one of those things where people are being set up and put in particular places to do particular duties. And I may not get all these names right, but in Nehemiah 11:17, it says, "And Mattaniah, the son of Micah, the son of Zabdi, the son of Asaph, was the principal to begin the thanksgiving in prayer." You see that? There was a specific person that was selected to begin giving thanks in prayer. Now, you know, we could read into that and make several different comments, but the one comment that I do want to make is this: as we pray to the Lord, thanksgiving ought to be a habitual part of that. For our daily graces, the daily mercies, for salvation, for, you know, I don't have to tell you all the things, but thanksgiving ought to be one of those routines or one of those habitual things that happens here in prayer. Also, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 Timothy chapter 2, as Paul is talking to Timothy about what ought to be happening in the church, he says this in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, "I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men." I exhort, therefore, that first of all, he says this is a preeminent thing. This is something that you don't need to skip. This is something that needs to happen. Supplications, prayers, intercessions, and the giving of thanks be made for all men. That is, for all kinds of men. Now, you notice here that whenever Paul is encouraging Timothy in this matter of prayer, he's giving thanks not just for what the Lord has done in salvation, but he's giving thanks for all men. Now, in that, again, you know, he's not giving thanks for every single thing about every man. Obviously, God's working, overriding, those kinds of things are going on. But these things are being made, these things are being done on behalf of these men and in relation to these men. Prayer and thanksgiving ought to be a regular part of your spiritual disciplines. Secondly, look back in Nehemiah chapter 12. Nehemiah chapter 12. I may have the wrong verse reference here. All right, let's go to Psalm 69. Psalm 69. In verse 30, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. I will praise the name of God with a song. One of the ways that we can give thanks is through song, is through singing. As we think about praising God, you know, we're in the same vein as thanking God. We do that. That's part of our worship on a regular basis in the song service. We're thanking God in song. Now, we do that corporately. You can do that individually. But that's one of those disciplines that you can put into your own life to where you're thanking God through prayer and then you're thanking God through song. You know, there are very few things that warm the heart like singing. And when I say that, I'm talking specifically about singing songs that are God-honoring, worship songs to the Lord that are communicating truth about who God is and what God has done and giving thanks to God on behalf of that. And so that ought to be a habit that we seek to cultivate in our own lives with the music that we not just listen to, but the music that we sing as we're able to make a habit of being thankful in song. There's also in Psalm 147,7 through 9. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving, sing praise upon the harp unto our God, who covereth the heaven with clouds, who prepareth rain for the earth, who maketh grass to grow upon the mountains. He giveth to the beast his food, and to the young ravens which cry. He delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of man. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him and those that hope in his mercy. And so the psalmist goes on there. But all of this is coming out as David is encouraging, exhorting, sing a song of thanksgiving to the Lord. And then what does he do? If you've been here on Wednesday nights, you know we've been talking about the fact that these psalms, as they're being written, they're flowing out of David's meditations of a certain aspect of God's character. He's been meditating and he's connecting that to his own experience here. And so as David meditates on being thankful, of praising the Lord, Psalm 147, verse 1, he gets into things like he covers the heavens with clouds. He prepares rain for the earth. He makes grass to grow upon the mountains. He gives the beasts his food. When's the last time you thought of that? When's the last time you just sat around and thought, God is so glorious, he gives the beast on the mountain their food. He covers the sky with clouds. He makes grass to grow upon the mountains. He feeds the young ravens which cry. You see, he's meditating here. He's meditating on God's goodness and how thankful he is for all that God does, even in the things that we don't really notice. And so song, praising God, giving thanks to God in song. And then lastly, Psalm 26. Psalm 26. Here, David is asking the Lord to examine him. David's asking the Lord to kind of prove his innocence. And in verse 7, one of the reasons he wants them to do that, in verse 7 he says, that or so that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. That I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. Another way that we can give thanks, another discipline that we ought to have in giving thanks, is just through personal testimony. The Lord has worked at work in my life, and it's been a blessing. I'm thankful that the congregation here, that there's a freedom for folks to share, to be able to give their testimony as far as God's goodness to them, and people are comfortable to speak up, and it's not chaotic, it's just as the Lord moves, people do it. And I hope that the Lord will bless us to grow in that. I hope the Lord will bless me to grow in that. And again, what is a personal testimony outside of just acknowledging what God has done? That's all it is. God has done this. God has blessed me in this way. And I want to publicly praise Him and say thank you to Him. And then in the process, we end up encouraging other people, don't we? Either that or we end up stirring up other people. Isn't it something that the more you're around a thankful person, the more thankful you can become? The more you hear God being lifted up with praise and thanksgiving, the more that your own heart and mind is stirred to be thankful and to praise God for the blessings that He has blessed you with. Well, one of the blessings of being able to stir one another up through thanksgiving and through personal testimony is a blessing that we can experience right here. It's one of those iron sharpening iron type moments. Now again, I'm not saying we fall into some chaotic thing where people are tripping over each other to try to give thanks at the same time. But I am saying the appropriateness of just stopping to give thanks for God's goodness and blessing to me and to you throughout the week and throughout our lives. And so, that's the end of the message. As we seek to cultivate, this heart of thankfulness, as we practice giving thanks, again, I would just say, we are being more and more conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Read through the Gospels. It's amazing how many times Jesus stops to say thank you. We're being more and more conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, and we're being prepared more and more to enter in and do what we're going to do for eternity. And that is thank God and thank the Lamb for all that we've received from their hand.